My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am now so far from helping me, from the words of my Lord. O my God, I cry in the night daytime, for thou hearest my. And in the night season, and am not silent. Thou art Lord, O thou that inhabitest the bridge of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted that thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not even found. Thy worm, O man, thou approach of men, cries to the people. All they that see thee laugh, thee to scorn. They shoot out the lips, they shake the head, say, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, see he delighted in him. Thou art he that took me out of the womb, and which made me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's death. Be not far from me the trouble in thee, for there is none to take. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me up. They gaze upon me with their mouths and a big name and a roaring laugh. For I like water. All my bones are out of strength. My heart is like wax, it melted in the midst of my heart. My strength is dried up like a poplar. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, where dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enthroned me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may get all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lumps upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. My strength is thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast spared me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. Fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but he cried unto him. My grace shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that speaketh. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord, since he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. None can keep alive his own being. He shall serve us. Shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come, shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. That he we have no doubt, no question about the messianic character of this time. The Jewish Hebrew Christian Maccabee the Great has pointed out that there are 33 statements in the Psalm that are determinedly fulfilled in the 6 hours that Jesus died. Is it any wonder that this Psalm is therefore left out of the reading in the synagogue? It's not read there today. The truth is to the heavens. We come before us, I trust, this afternoon figuratively speaking, with uncharged speech. Metaphorically speaking, with bowed hands, as we are permitted again to look into the mystery of Calvary and its fear, the one who suffered it. It's not without significance that I would judge that there is no occasion in the life of David that you could pinpoint and take up the experience from which this psalm came. Doubtless was a time of pleasure, day, almost desolation, but the Spirit of God has seen fit to take language and use it uniquely in such a way that the only true fulfillment is in the prophetic view of seeing it fulfilled in Calvary's pain and in Calvary's shame. The psalm has three sections, unequal sections. The first 21 verses, from verse 1 to the end of 21, you could put a little title upon and call it suffer. Fear is here. Despair is here. He is. Christ is. The rejected one. This section consists of four quotes or stanzas of 10 lines each, equal and balanced. But when you come to the fifth quote in this same section, there's only 6 lines. Someone has aptly said, like a broken column in a graveyard, it comes as if the column was broken there. A testimony. Yes. There it is. The rejected. But when you pass to verse 22, you're moving into the second section. The first section has closed with a statement like this. Thou hast heard. That's the same word that in verse 2 did not mean. But now thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. That's the word for the wild ox. And we explain it in a moment. But there is a calf. There's a confidence there. Thou hast heard me. And you can see and feel the stillness. After the supper, as the sufferer leaves his head, in the hand of one who has heard him now. But the second section, beginning with verse 22, you could put over it one word. Here is a shout. A shout. Pay note. Here is thou. And the word is not despair, it's deliverance. Because I submit that you're moving in this section from the rejected one of the cross to the raised one with the crown. Now, the pain is over, and power is demonstrated in one who suffered that and has now been raised from the dead. And you get words like these. I will declare thy name unto my breast. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee. Words that in Hebrews 2 are linked, of course, with the Christ in resurrection. Not now the afflicted one, but the accepted one. The one a king accepted of heaven. And this one, not only through death, out of death, is the one who moves to the cross and prays in the assembly. Verse 22. In the nation. Verse 23. What is it? Widening serpent that will join in the note of prayer. And then you come to the third section in verse 26. So we have moved from suffering
which help. And now there's a song. And that song indicates not pain, or even power, or the resultant grace. This is not despair, or not only deliverance, this is deliverance. Deliverance? Yeah. The rejected one. The raised one. Now the reigning one. This is millennial splendor. This is millennial glory. And you get here the various strophes that run down the session from verse 26 to the close of the chapter. And you're going to get the notes of assurance for an answering antiphonal cry. And the second antiphonal cry is this, that the kingdom is the Lord, and he is the governor among the nations. Can you see the lightning, sir? From the church to the nation and to the world. This is the one who hung on Calvary's dark throne. The one who is moved from the tree to the throne. Yes, indeed. This is the one who now is the focus and the leader of the praise that rises to the God who thus has worked. And what do you hear at the end of the psalm? You hear an oath that goes out through the generations unto those that shall be born. And wonder God. He hath done. Not man by his activity. Not man by his ability. But he hath done. My, that triumphant work. And he said, the man of the cross is the man on the throne. And the note throughout the eternity will be, he did, the praise will rise to the one who fills the throne in heaven. The rejected one, yet the raised one, the reigning one, one who throughout those ages will weave the scepter for his law. Let's do it, brethren, for a few minutes. Let's do it. More children at these three things. What are we going to do? We're going to do two things. We're going to look at the sun. We're going to listen to the shout. And we're going to learn from the sun. Let's look carefully. And we'll follow that at the supper of the first part of the sun. We immediately think that God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, the mystery of Calvary is not in the malevolence of the Jews, nor in the malignity of the Gentiles. This is the mystery. The God alone. To be forsaken and abandoned on Calvary's cross. Do you ever allow the hymn writer's lines to set the heart? Emmanuel's orphan cry. Yea, once Emmanuel's orphan cry has risen from the one abandoned alone on Calvary's cross. Once this universe has shaped and solved and the question we know why. We know the planning behind it. We know the purpose that God has in it. But now to stand as one. Upon that one is a gap. And to hear that desolate cry. So far from me. The word of verse 1, the word of verse 11, the word of verse 19, that word far that seems to carry all the thoughts of infinite distance. What it meant to the one who ever had lived in fellowship with his God. Now this one, forsaken, abandoned,
the very word causes shiver to pass down our very soul. To be confident. The power of hope.
Thou that art enthroned upon the praises of Israel.
Give the more accurate translation.
Thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel, thou art holy.
I believe the sufferer's confidence rises at that point,
at that dark point,
which is for thou hope. Recognizing that God had allowed the question of sin to us, the question that would be settled in Calvary's back, with confidence, he said, oh God, our hope,
O thou that art enthroned upon the bridge of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee.
Many times I have looked up, thought of the history of Testament, to see a Jeremiah in the dungeon, to see a Daniel in the den, to see a Job in the dust. Yet there were more mere mortal, sinful men from Calvary, the one who I drank them all, the spotless, stainless, sinless Son of God. O Father, trust in me. Thou didst deliver them.
Why did not the universe darken? Why did not the earth quake and shiver into fragments? The Son of God saw the sun on yonder tree, abandoned,
forgotten. Darkest moment earth has ever been. That's the suffering. That's the abandonment. But now we will allow in the next chapter,
in verse number 6 down to verse number 10, you're allowed to pass from that which was inward and spiritual. You're allowed now to pass to not the abandonment but the animosity.
And the good thing that in this stanza is verbal,
but I am a worm.
I'm no man.
No cow.
The word worm is the same word as you have in Isaiah 1:18, the scarlet. To identify because the scarlet came from the worm. The crushing of the worm brought out the scarlet.
The very rule. He will wear royally in mighty dignity throughout eternity.
Is that rule fashioned through the cross?
And identify him as the man who gave himself,
who died, that we might live. The one who hung from naked.
Rule now.
That I'm a worm. The rule now.
Look at the words that pop. Despise the people. They laugh me to scorn. The teeth of none. The next word is shoot out the lip, he despised. The next verse, he is, he rises, he trusted in God that he would deliver him.
Again, the tools of the back. Let him deliver him. They shoot out the lip. Can you read it?
Can't you see all the animosity that is in the heart of man coming off of the cross?
We are moving outward, you see. From the central group, we're moving up to the verb.
Abandonment. Animosity. Look at the next sentence. He said, do not fall from me, that's verse 11, down to verse number 14. For trouble is near, for there's none to help. Many who?
I promise me.
What does that mean? If the title of the psalm carries significance to the chief musician upon Angela Shaha, translated by me, the hiding of the dark, It pictures that him and me using up in the first rays of sunlight behind the dark, feasting, seated on the succulent, juice-battered shoot. Was seven, surrounded by those wine pools in their savagery, for us again. The bull, of course, did you with Israel. His kind of fashion. The bull of fashion. It's the nation. Arrayed against them. Sadducees and Pharisees. All the hierarchy of that nation far from God. They have congregated. And they have come. This blessed one. Now, in this moment, not only abandonment, unmarketed, but magnificent, just like Booth waiting to stamp upon that little hind of the door. You see the picture, but the psalmist is gone. But then behind the Booth, there's something more. They give the body with their mouth. He changes the picture. But he puts in another aspect of the picture. As a ramming and a roaring lion. I submit that that's satanic power. That that's which energized and controlled the nation as they moved to kill the Prince of Life. So with that satanic error, directing, dominating, and thus ensuring that this one would move to Calvary's cross, not knowing that that would be the very means of him. And there's the lion, a ravening, and a roaring in the midst of that. And to the bull, behind us the lion, that I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of blood. My heart is like wax that is melted in the midst of my bowels. And you see his weakness? Without that power. Can't you see his power? There, all my bones are out of blood. His helpless. As he speaks, my heart is like wax. You know what that means? That's just being without him. All that is in the scripture as a feeling of my Savior in the isolation and the loneliness and abandonment and animosity around the clock. As the antagonism of bulls and lions comes out in its group, we move to the next step. 15:2. And now it's not the bull. It's the dog. There's no difficulty identifying the dog. That's the Gentile. There you can see another aspect of that animosity coming out of that physical attack that was made upon Christ. Who the national leader? The dog? The Gentile agent? What has happened? That's a fragment of broken part. That neglected is left in the altar. And it's repeatedly here. But you have not a drop of moisture in it. It humbles you. In the altar, the beauty, moisture. Now it is more than that. The next statement is they view my hand and my head. That method of death was left to the Romans to bring it to fruition. And you get them. No, nail my hand. We have our hearts moved.
The picture of that one is by hand raising to Calvary's God cross. Can you take once for me? Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great to me. O wondrous love, I shall say. He died for me. My Lord. The door. They accomplished me. The Gentile nation. Inward, muscular, outward, helpless, manward. My master. My master. They parted my garments, those fine garments. They parted them. There's one more. My master. For this last one. His name. On Calvary Street. Oh, shame. Every element, they hinted upon it. The attack was cheap. The bulls were round. The dogs were there. Behind them the lions. All the fortunes of evil were gathered now. Around the sight of God. Be not thou far from thee, O God. You see, in this stanza, we're moving from the spirit, from the verb. Now we're moving right from the natural, even from the physical. We're moving to the inside. The power of the jaw, the word power in the upper line, should be called. The power of the jaw. That's the Sabbath. Then you have the mouth of the lion. That's the parable. Then you have the horns of the wild ox. The picture, of course, is a method of putting men to death. That's the pride of every element of humanity. What's that? A man who is bound with a horn of the wild ox. Beautiful. Bound with the sharp, bitter, bitter edge of those horns and sent into the earth. What a death that was. The Savior uses that prophetic expression from the horns of the wild oxen. It is still with you. It is moment. Yes, and Jesus is that. At the end of the story, that's not the end of the story. That's the end of it. As you come to the next one. The next stanza, and I said, begins to the shock. That shock that comes when the agony is past, the answer came, God has heard. Thou from the grave will come a mighty victim. In anticipated language of prophecy, you get these words put into his mouth. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee. Thy submittance because of his distinction from that which follows, if you get the thought of that redeemed company of the church. The assembly will I praise him. He that fear the Lord, praise him. Only see of Jacob, glorify him. Then move to the seat of Israel, the description of the nation. Well then, in a day even yet to come, knowledge the one who has been on the tree and is now full. They will bow the knee, praise will rise to the very heart of my God. There's a note of praise, quick, and crowd, and the one now risen from the grave. In the final word of verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great competition. But we don't look beyond this. And he, the Savior, becomes the small leader of the universe. He causes praise to rise to God. And he heard the afflicted one, I believe that's himself. He heard the cry of that afflicted one. Answered from his Lord. Now we have a man raised from the dead. A shock. Quick. My time's gone. I want you to look at the last one.
It's off. Here's the ready one. The agony past. The answer for pain. Here's the advent for prayer. The rejected one. Now the Redeemer. The Comforter. And the four statements. Beginning with verse 36. The meek shall meet and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. That's in millennial splendor, true delectation, provision and peace comes through him. The antiphonal answer is this from the choir of God. Here it is. Your heart shall live forever. Then you come to another statement, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn on the Lord. Kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. The answer from the choir again is this. For the kingdom is the Lord. He is the governor amongst the nation. Answering to the true devotion that will be seen in that coming day. Stars now, of course, to his God. Verse 29. All ye that be fat, that holy earth, that word fat means the vigorous, shall eat and worship. All this who does the dust, that's the dying, the vigorous and the dying. Why there be tremendous changes? There be blessing that spreads out as there is dependence upon him. Verse 30 and 31. You get the answer from the choir in verse 29 and 30. Some can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve it. It's those that are linked in it. Enjoy the blessing of eternal life. And then you have the last note. Shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It shall come from the careless righteousness unto a people that shall be born. You can almost see the tide and the swell of faith reaching out, reaching down through the generation. The great theme of praise. King of God. We didn't achieve it. We didn't deserve it. But we drew the cross. And now, we won Christ. May our hearts be with this reservoir.
Thank you.